Championship everywhere.
You found Prime Time Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The wide world of wine garden.
You done found us. It is VSiN's Prime Time Action. Live from the South Point Monday night. That means Monday Night Football, Seahawks in Washington tonight. That's about an hour plus from now. We'll get into all that, prop watch and beyond. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could hang with us tonight. NBA news, injury news, that is, a whole bunch of NFL news, and, of course, baseball signings galore. We'll get into all that, but we have a tip here to start things off tonight.
Just one happening right now, one more this hour. Magic and the Sixers. Right now, Sixers are 14-point home favorites in this one, 204.5. 205 the total. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific are the Nuggets and the Heat. That is the Heat at 2.5 or 3-point home favorites. 206.5, 207 your total there. Head into the 8 o'clock hour, Pacers and Timberwolves. Timberwolves are 3.5-point home favorites. 220 your total. Thunder and the Rockets. The Rockets are 2.5-point home favorites over the Thunder. 216.5 all the way to 217.5 can be found on the total in that one. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Hornets and the Bulls. The Bulls, 4.5-point home favorites, 221.5 to 222, your total there. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, the Wizards and the Spurs. The Wizards, 2.5 to 3-point road favorites in this one, Spurs. And the Wizards sitting at a 215 total. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, Cavs and the Mavericks. Mavericks, 6.5-point home favorites, 210, 210.5, the total there. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Blazers and the Jazz. The Jazz are 7.5-point home favorites, 222.5 to 223, the total. And the final tip of the night, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, the Pelicans and the Clippers. The Clippers are anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5-point home favorites in that one. So be sure and shop around, 210.5 to 11, the total there.
So much to get to tonight. Yes, no playoffs in the NFL. We'll take a look at Week 13 lines tonight. College football talk. It's championship week, of course. We'll talk about the coaching carousel that is college football as well. First, though, any beyond props, any pre-flop side or total tonight in the football game?
I just need the Redskins.
You need Washington to win.
Notice the jacket for tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Not so much a burgundy, more of an eggplant.
It is. Okay. It's red. We'll get you up close.
What are the Washington football team's true colors? Do you know?
Burgundy and gold.
Burgundy and gold.
Okay.
I know it's garnet and gold for Florida State. So yeah,
I got a couple of couple of teasers. So I just need to keep. I need them to keep it within 8. That'd be really nice.
That number bounced back up here in town. So I even though I had the Cowboys ruin one of those for me last week, I got back in on it today. So yeah, I've got a Washington football team +8 and Cardinals -1 teaser for Cardinals this next week.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I'm on Washington, period, point blank.
A couple of props we'll talk about later.
Yeah, we'll talk about props coming up. A whole bunch of NFL news. First of all, we were waiting on word about Dalvin Cook today after he had to leave the game yesterday against the 49ers with a shoulder injury left in the third quarter. He tore his labrum, as it turns out, while dislocating his shoulder yesterday. Sources said the MRI revealed, but the ailment not season-ending. The hope is that, like in 2019, when the team rested Cook a few games to have him healthy for a playoff run, this will be the same sort of thing. In fact, Mike Zimmer use the phrase day-to-day on Dalvin Cook. So that's about as good as they could have expected.
Yeah. I can't imagine he's going to play against the Lions.
Yeah.
This week when you have Alexander Mattison, who is right there with Tony Pollard, is basically the best backup running back in the league, best backup situation you could possibly have. So cannot imagine he's going to be out there this week against the Lions. Get him nice and rested again for what now has gotten, which is now a much more interesting playoff push for that team.
Absolutely. 5-6, all 6 losses by a combined 26 points for the Minnesota Vikings. Brutal. The Panthers placed, well, first of all, let's do the Cowboys first. Mike McCarthy has tested positive for COVID-19. The Cowboys say he will continue to direct and be involved in all meetings and game preparations on a virtual basis for the remainder of the week, including Thursday's meetings for their Thursday night tilt against the Saints. Won't coach the game, though.
Yeah, and I was fairly interested to see, because Adam Schefter, when he reported this morning, he followed it up with another one that said, like, up to eight people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, boy, like, what is going on over there in the Cowboys locker room? But then it was just kind of followed up. There was already some – that was counting all the people that had already been tested positive and this, that, and the other. And all. So it ended up not being this crazy big thing there for the Cowboys. I have a couple of – growing up in northern Louisiana, I have a couple of Cowboys friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of happy. They were like, I'm interested to see what this team looks like.
We joked on guessing lines. That should move the line up from 6-7. Favor the Cowboys. Then there are the Panthers. The Panthers placed Christian McCaffrey today on injured reserve for a second time with only 5 weeks or 6 weeks left of the season. He's out. He's done for the season. That would make a grand total of 23 games when all is said and done that McCaffrey will have missed last year and this year. 23.
I don't like to be results-oriented with all of this, but there was a lot of people when he was coming out of college who said, super special player, I'm worried about his durability.
Yeah.
And that has – he has had an injury-plagued career so far. And so it's kind of a bummer here. And certainly for this Panther team as well, that Lord knows they need – all the help they can get on the offensive side of the ball. Christian McCaffrey certainly would have been like one of the guys that maybe could have helped this team somewhere along the way. But boy, that was a bad showing. We'll talk about that.
Cam Newton, 5-for-21 for 92 yards yesterday. And you could even sense when they scored their first touchdown, he wanted to do a whole choreographed celebration. And you could tell Christian McCaffrey and the rest of the Panthers were like, we don't want to do this, Cam.
did you catch his third-person quote after the game?
No.
Or he was like, just because Cam Newton comes back to your team doesn't mean you're going to win ball games automatically.
Is that what he said?
Something like that. And I was really? God. Like, really? You were out of the league for half of this year. You're saying that? Okay.
As far as that Saints-Cowboys game on Thursday, Alvin Kamara listed as limited in today's practice. Mark Ingram, full participant, also full participant. Taysom Hill, everybody. Taysom Hill with his foot injury, that according to Rap Sheet. He is in line to start on Thursday night against the Cowboys. And the Steelers just placed T.J. Watt on the COVID-19 list. So the Steelers, after getting housed by the Bengals yesterday, that is not good news at all.
Yeah, on the Saints side of things, I mean, I think they have no choice at this point. I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, if you watched our show over the last year and a half, you know well what I think about Taysom Hill and his prospects of being an actual starting NFL quarterback. But I mean, they have no choice. I mean, Trevor Siemian has been god awful.
I'm excited for that game Thursday night though, because doesn't it feel like? Like, Matt, it feels like they've been prepping for this for, like, 2 years now of it's like the, okay, Taysom Hill game, our backs are against the wall as far as the playoffs, unload the entire playbook. Like, we might see some wild stuff in that game Thursday night.
And then there's the biggest one maybe of all things today, with the exception of the McCaffrey news, with apologies to the McCaffrey news, but in terms of a team that is still fighting for a playoff spot, beyond Dalvin Cook, it's Jack Conklin of the Cleveland Browns, who in Cleveland's anemic 16-10 loss to the Ravens yesterday. Conklin, their standout offensive tackle, out for the season with a knee injury. That is massive. Not good for the Cleveland Browns at all. So that came down the wire today as well. By the way, Kelly, you know the burgundy and gold question? When Jim Zorn was announced as their new head coach back in the day, mm-hmm. He goes, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be working here with a maroon and black. And everybody was like, oh, dear.
Great start.
Oh, dear sweet Jesus. NBA news today, by the way. Big, I didn't see this. This was under the radar for me. Denver forward Michael Porter Jr. expected to miss the remainder of the season due to back surgery.
Yeah, talk about young guys that, bright futures that have had injury concerns their entire career. They were kind of worried about that end of last week. He missed a few games, worried that they might have to go, he might have to go under the knife and miss a significant period of time. And yeah, that's tough, man, because that kid is, he's a special talent at 6'10 and what he can do outside, both on offense and defense. So pretty tough to see his career going like it's been going as far as injuries.
And then in baseball, they are just throwing money around here in Major League Baseball. The biggest signing of the day, Max Scherzer to the New York Mets on a 3-year, $130 million deal. The Dodgers had hopes that he would stay with them, but 3 years, $130 million, what do you do? You now have a Mets 1-2 punch in whatever order you want it to be, Scherzer and DeGrom, which wouldn't be the first time the Mets had a beautiful-looking rotation on paper. Hopefully DeGrom can stay healthy. Hopefully Scherzer can for the Mets. But that's the biggest of many deals, including Corey Seager going to the Texas Rangers on the heels of Marcus Semien having gone there. So the Rangers trying to make a big splash as well.
I saw a thing today. Scherzer's deal is bigger than the as we sit right now. I mean, of course, it can get added to, but what would be the projected payroll of three teams heading into the season?
I knew that was something like that was coming. Yeah,
yeah. Like his 43 that he's going to get the first year of the contract is more than three teams' projected whole payrolls.
Like Marlins, in, Pirates, heading, and Diamondbacks, yeah, or whatever.
They also had a deal of coming out, which again, this just lets you know that. This is like completely, they're going to have to do something about this. Like, I mean, I don't know, you can't force them to sell the team or something like that. But the Pirates, the biggest contract they've ever given out was a $60 million contract, and that was two decades ago.
Who was that to?
I think it was Jason Kendall or something like that.
Oh,
something
that makes sense. Yeah.
But like it was 6 years, $60 million, and that's the biggest contract they've ever given out, and that was 20 years ago.
Because they sure didn't give one to Barry Lamar Bonds, I'll tell you that much. We'll come back. We'll do Prop Watch for Seattle and Washington tonight. Monday Night Football, if Washington wins tonight, they are within two games of the NFC East lead. And, oh, by the way, they control their own playoff destiny. Washington does. If Washington wins, they're also immediately the number seven seed in the NFC after tonight, if you can believe that. That should be fun. Washington hasn't won a Monday night game since the medieval times, but that's a whole other story. We'll come back. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. It's a new feature that gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game. Why don't you? At VSiN.com. It's Gil, Matt, and Kelly. Before we get to Prop Watch, can I ask you a sports radio question here, Mateo?
Let's do it.
The Christian McCaffrey thing.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of process that. Does the thought come back in your mind of this is why you don't draft running backs high, like Zeke? You think about Saquon. You just think about all the injuries and how the Cleveland Browns are a great example of how imminently replaceable these guys are. It just seems like a poor use of your draft stock.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's because of the injury situation, really, is what it comes down to. I mean, like, listen, when Saquon was healthy early on in his career, he was doing eye-popping things. It was fantastic, and then he got hurt. McCaffrey had one of the most unbelievable running back seasons we've seen in a long time, running and receiving, you know, as far as combined yardage goes, and then he's on the shelf or whatever. And then we just look and we see, just start it like – basically, just, I mean, if you're a fantasy football player, basically just start at the top, right? At like Derrick Henry, IR. We got a couple of more guys on IR. Aaron Jones has missed multiple games. We've got all these like top tier running backs who have all missed a lot of time because that position is very, very rough and tough on your body, you know? So, yeah, I don't think draft capital in the first round, at least, really justifies it anymore.
We saw Najee and Travis Etienne go late in the first round this year. Travis Etienne injured on arrival, so to speak, that is. So it's, I don't know, every time something like
Kamara's
this happens.
Kamara's missed multiple games.
Yeah.
You know.
And not to mention, you got to be right about him in the first place, right, which is also a crapshoot to some degree. It's more reliable than picking a quarterback, that's for sure. Like, you know, Derrick Henry's going to be great, but there is always this high risk of injury. So that's what's happening. It's a shame to see some of these young guys go out. Let's do some Prop Watch for tonight. Seattle and Washington, Monday Night Football. Think Washington can get it done tonight? Oh, they better.
It was a good week 12. It could be a great week 12 should they get this done tonight.
Oh, how'd you do on your personals?
So it would be 3-2. 3-2. Dream's dead.
Not good enough, Mateo.
3-2. Dream's dead.
The quarter, 3-2. The quarterly dream is dead.
Dream's dead.
Isn't that messed up that you're 12-3 and you're like, I'm out?
Yeah.
I 3-2. Can't do it.
Dream's dead.
If you go 5-0, there's an outside. No, there's probably not.
I was going to say that too, but there's probably not.
Probably
right?
not. Yeah. Probably not.
So, thanks, Panthers, for that no show.
Yeah,
that was never even in. That was never even in there. And then the, whatever that was that the Eagles did. I mean,
that's another one. Yeah,
whatever that was.
-4 in turnovers.
I mean, holy mackerel!
It was a lot of that, but like just the. I mean, they've been rolling, and then the Giants. The Giants shut you down?
Well, they only scored 13 points. That's the thing. I mean, the Giants only scored 13. The defense did what they were supposed to do. They only scored 13 points.
It's -4 in turnovers.
Yeah. And Jalen Reagor just like, wow.
Oh.
Stone hands. So don't throw it to Stone hands. Like, oh, my God. Like, two different times directly in his hands. Not that they would have covered or anything. Like, it's just like.
Was he both on that final drive?
Both times was him.
Was him. Okay, yeah. So those were two touchdown catches that should have occurred.
One of the picks, too, like, he didn't fight off the defender, which could have, you know, like, sometimes as a receiver you turn into a DB, you know, and he just chose to kind of like, oh, this guy's going to pick it.
You're going
to
catch that.
Yeah. Aren't you? Oh, he's going to catch that. That's unfortunate.
Here are the whole Eagles drive for the whole game. 3-and-out, pick. 3-and-out, pick. 4-and-out, pick. Touchdown, 6-and-out, fumble, 8-and-out. There's your ball game.
Yeah.
It's Whew. Fun.
That was a tough one. That said, our strategy, guys, not only, which would have been great had I done better than 3-and-2 or something like that, but we were correct. The most popular team picked was the Steelers.
Was it really?
In the whole week.
Wow.
Yeah. At the +4.5.
That's surprising to me.
It was the most popular pick of the week.
They got crushed, too. Epically. We'll talk about all of them. Prop watch for tonight. Russell Wilson, third game back from injury for Seattle. Taylor Heinicke, your quarterback for Washington. 249.5 for Russell Wilson. 246.5 for Heinicke. It's about as close as we've ever seen. 1.5 on both for passing touchdowns. Almost exactly juiced, barely to the overside for both. Interceptions, there's a little difference. Over on Heinicke at 0.5. Under juiced heavily on Russell Wilson. But that really up and down is about as close as we've seen two starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, really, really. I mean, it really is. For a change, guys. I'm on one of these passing props. Really? I'm on Heinicke. Yeah, tonight. 239.5 is the number that I'm on the over with him.
He's a lot better than mine.
There was a pretty good amount of writing on the wall that they were going to activate Logan Thomas for this game, which they ended up doing. Just got an alert here on the phone. Ron Rivera said, well, because the other thing. So Ricky Seals-Jones is out tonight for Washington. And so with that, it's kind of one of those, not really much of a choice, but for him to play a decent amount of snaps. He said he's probably going to play between 30 and 50 snaps tonight is Logan Thomas. And so you get him back in the lineup. Also, Curtis Samuel is going to go. He said he's going to be more about the 20 snap type deal, but here's the thing with him, you're putting him in leverage situations, right? And so that helps a guy like Heinicke as well to have him out there. Cause even if he's just a distraction for a Logan Thomas or for a Terry McLaurin, that is A-okay with me. Right. And so, so I'm on the over on 239.5 here. The other thing too is just, Washington hadn't had much of a run game to speak of.
Nope.
And they've had much more success from an efficiency standpoint when they've just been throwing it. And I imagine here that, look, hey, it is the path of least resistance also, because, like, the only thing that Seattle kind of does well is the interior defensive line. And so you don't do something well as it is in the first place. That is the one area that they are kind of okay at. So I think Ron Rivera and company, especially with getting those two weapons back out there for Heinicke as well, go ahead and go to the air. So, yeah, I took the over on 239 here. I think that's the way they go about trying to move the ball in this game.
I'm going to anticipate the receiving numbers right here. McLaurin, over. What are the receiving numbers? What do we got here? I'm going to guess.
Bloop.
Bloop. Lockett, 67.5. McLaurin, 66.5. DK, 64.5. And everybody else, half of that or less.
Yeah, so I took just as correlated, you know, as a correlated play, I'm over on 65.5 on McLaurin. 66.5 is negligible. You could certainly take that. I'm also over on Logan Thomas, 30.5, 32.5. For him is a little bit just because he's a lower volume guy or whatever. But, I mean, still, that's not to a point where I would not play him. If you look at how this is, I mean, it's a correlated play anyway. If I think Heinicke is going to go over the yardage, then it's going to go to his top two targets. And if you look at McLaurin, he's got over this total in about half the games so far this year. But again, I actually think that getting Logan Thomas and getting Curtis Samuel back out there helps his chances and is better for him, you know, because they both of those guys have been out for so long that. If you're a defense, I mean, it's very, very obvious how to go about defending Washington, which is shut down Terry McLaurin. And so getting him here at 65.5, I thought was really good, especially, again, like I said, correlated with what I was going to do with Heinicke. And then Logan Thomas, the over as well. Listen, like I said, they're not going to have much choice here. I mean, he's thrust back in. He was going to be the starter anyway, but he's thrust back into a much bigger workload probably than they would even have liked right out of the gate because the other tight end is out tonight. So he's going to have to get out there, and he's going to have to run routes, and he's going to have to be a part of the offense tonight. So yes, so I'm on the over on him as well in this, and I actually feel pretty good about this. I like that bet.
This is the most stacked Washington has been all year. Biggest group of receivers that they've had in any particular game. Samuel this year, 4 catches, 19 yards, in an injury riddled first campaign with Washington. And then finally the rushing stats, or the rushing props, I should say. Antonio Gibson's at 65.5, and the Seahawks, who want to establish the run as always, Alex Collins at 53.5.
There was just too much here for me. There was just too much unknown here for me on the rushing side of things. Because
totally. You
look, I mean, we assume that Alex Collins on the Seattle side is going to get, you know, the bulk of the carries. Because that's the other thing about this is Rashad Penny and Travis Homer are both out tonight for Seattle, so it's basically Alex Collins and DJ Dallas who they have tonight. They elevated a guy off the practice squad as well. But look, man, who knows with Russ? I mean, like, who knows with Pete Carroll? I mean, it could be half Alex Collins, half DJ Dallas. He could, this guy that comes off the practice squad, get a whole bunch of carries as well. Like, I just don't know how it's going to go. I mean, I think there's a lean to me, at least on the under on Gibson for that side of things, but not enough of an edge for me to.
What about two mobile quarterbacks, Heinicke 18.5, Russell Wilson 14.5? No part of that either.
No part of that.
Okay. All right. Prop watch, Seattle, Washington. Not Seattle, Washington, but Seattle versus Washington. Hour from now, we'll look at a little, you know, yes-no playoffs a little later. But next, Fruit Baskets, those who helped us win bets this weekend. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Cyber Monday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hat, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It is a limited time offer, though. I cannot stress this enough. So sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift for that special sports betting someone in your life at VSiN.com/subscribe. Currency exchange.
Oh, he's on his phone looking at props.
Oh, yeah.
No chance.
I am. I'm seeing if I can do it.
Yeah, I'm seeing if I can do that one here. And moving on to Fruit Baskets.
Yeah. Fruit Baskets.
Some bets are more fruitful than others. Let's find out who deserves a Fruit Basket of their own for helping the Primetime Action crew win this weekend.
Long tease, hang around. We got a same game prop for you guys.
Same game parlay coming.
Same game parlay, 5 o'clock. Because right. Matt's gonna then text me this. We're gonna get a graphic built.
Do you want to do your fruit baskets first?
Yeah. I was seeing if I could actually make it here because I was able to make it elsewhere.
Listen, we don't want to interrupt.
You know, I was able to make it elsewhere. Just seeing if I could do that. Apparently, it's a little tougher. Tougher around these parts than it is the rest of the country. But, you know, it is what it is. All right. So, yes, so Robbie Gold, I appreciate you, and I'm going to give you a fruit basket here. And this is one of those things where I said I was searching, guys. I was looking for dance partners for what ended up being a coast job of the Patriots leg of all the different teasers and money line parlays that I played this past week, which were just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. I love them so incredibly much. However, one of those was the Vikings, and Robbie Gold lined up for, and at which the Vikings were up to +9. They were.
Yeah, that's what I had them at.
They were trailing by 8, and Robbie Gold lined up for a 42-yard field goal, which I was like, super. That's going to really put a dent in today.
Yeah.
And instead, Robbie Gold stepped right up to that kick. And, Gil, do you know what he did?
He missed it.
He just pushed that thing to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He just pushed that thing to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the differential stayed at 8, which is within the 9 that I had. Cash that ticket, my friend. Cash. That ticket.
I was excited about that, Matt. And then I also had that +3.5. So then you get real excited about that, and then you're like, wait a sec, my 3.5's all of a sudden live again. Then because they might sneak in the back door on that end too.
My second one, another kicker, Matt Gay, and this one is because this was just to save my bacon here a little bit because I did play the both sides. We ended up playing the both sides of the teaser of this game,
playing both sides,
and which ended up. Great that I ended up playing the other side because obviously the way that the game played out. But Sean McVay, for whatever reason, decided to run the ball on third down with 52 seconds.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, with no timeouts.
Two scores.
Matt Gay had to hustle out there and run out there and kick a field goal through that, you know, fairly insignificant in the grand scheme of things, unless you had a +8 teaser leg, my friends.
In which case,
it got that thing down to 8, and I was able to push that side of it and then win the Packer side of it, and everybody's all happy and everything's good and great. Listen, here's the thing. And I bring these two things up because you always remember the bad beats.
Oh yeah.
Those are the good beats,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to point those out. That
you run pretty well.
I had no business winning. Robbie Gold makes that 42-yard field goal 90% of the time.
I've never met anybody who runs better in football. Football hates me in those moments. Hates me.
Like
hates me.
Seriously.
How are we gonna mess you up?
I feel like it's week to week with me on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, seriously, like I had no bit. Like Robbie Gold makes that 42-yard field goal 90% of the time. He pushed it right. The thing gets home.
I thought we were dead.
Matt Gay has to run out there with the clock running, an insignificant field goal, and he's able to kick it through.
What was Sean McVay thinking?
You
need 2 scores. Let's run here with no timeouts.
With no timeouts. It was insane. Even if you get the first down, it doesn't matter.
The clock's moving. That's right.
You moron. And then this is to the Pats, Bengals, and Jets. Boy, thanks, guys. Pretty good little coast job, actually, for all 3 of those, which was fun for this week. The Patriots, never really in doubt, certainly never in doubt. I mean, since he put it all over Pittsburgh, that was not even close from jump. And then the Jets led the entire second half. They never trailed in the second half, and then tacked on a field goal there with about 6-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter to where if you had +2.5, you weren't really threatened all that much as to not get that 2.5 home. So that was to have nice little coast jobs and stuff. And like I said, we're heading into tonight on a good week. It could be a great week if Washington can keep this thing within 8.
I'd like them to win, thank you.
Yes, I'd like them to keep within 8.
By the way,
if they win, that's fine. I'd like them to keep within 8.
Patriots ended up being a coast job. It wasn't very coasty for 2.5 quarters with the Titans running to the house down 6. But fumbles do that. Make them into a coast job. Oh, is it my turn? Fruit baskets. Aaron Rodgers was all over Green Bay yesterday. Aaron Rodgers is just this. Justin, are you ready for this? I want you guys to wait for it. Really good at football. I just never seen a guy who can place the ball in just pockets that this guy can. Over hands into the one spot that he can put it in. He's done it for over a decade. We are lucky to be able to watch him on a football field. Green Bay. In a relative coast job, quite frankly, over the L.A. Rams. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. And thank you to both the Ravens and the Browns. It's a tandem fruit basket for the both of you. I don't know where to send it. I'll send it to both places. But I just kept pounding away at the under last night in a game that featured The entire Lamar Jackson experience at the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter. End of the second quarter, he throws not one, not two, but three of his four picks on the night, interspersed with two Cleveland turnovers, by the way. There were five turnovers total in a 2-minute and 49-second span. And then in the third quarter, when the game was still very much in doubt, two third down plays where any other human being on earth is donezo, and Lamar Jackson just makes something out of nothing.
Heaves it downfield. 20 yards. Throw it into the end zone.
The first one, 39 yards to Mark Andrews as he's going out of bounds. The next one, a heave into the end zone when he's backed up 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, and somehow Andrews comes down with it. So, fruit baskets for Rodgers and for both the Ravens and the Browns.
That might have been the worst ending of a half of football I've ever seen in my life. That second quarter.
Five.
That was incredible.
Turnovers in 2 minutes and 49. I've never seen anything like that.
It was bizarre.
Unbelievable.
It literally got to the point of just not even being bad. It was just bizarre.
The thing about it was like the first half spread was in the balance too. Everything was.
You got the guys on the call like laughing at they hung 1 second left on the clock still. Like, and it was like, no, just go to
the locker room.
All right, my first fruit basket. I also have one for Aaron Rodgers, but I added Devontae Adams in there, too. We've talked about this all year where it's just like, it's amazing. Aaron Rodgers didn't practice all week. These, like, just the link between these guys' brains somehow that they can step out on a field together, not even practice. And it's 8 catches for 140 yards for Devontae Adams on 9 targets. Aaron Rodgers goes 28 for 45, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns. No problem. I mean, the offensive line should probably get some credit here, too, only allowing 1 sack. Packers, that they made that easy, getting that teaser leg home. And Aaron Rodgers, man, he's a guy that you just go back and forth. Betting-wise, I don't know whether to like him or hate him each week. It's one of those, your emotions range a lot with Aaron Rodgers. Next one I've got is Mac Jones. We've talked before about this team getting it done a lot of different ways, and maybe not so much giving Mac Jones the credit he deserves as a quarterback and not just a rookie quarterback. But that really felt like one of the first games where I saw him step up, or for a team that only ran the ball 24 times, 105 yards, two of those carries by Mac Jones himself. He went out there, threw the ball 32 times, 23 for 32, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. I was one of those games that Mac Jones really started to look like an NFL quarterback and not just a rookie quarterback on a good team with good pieces around him. So Mac Jones, made those, you and the rest of the Patriots made that Patriots teaser leg and parlay leg very easy.
And we can forget about Ja'Marr Chase being the favorite for Rookie of the Year now, once and for all.
Oh, after that, after this past week with Jones, for sure.
I keep saying he's a quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase's margin of error is so thin as a wide receiver. If you're not constantly getting the ball in the end zone, you're going to fall out of this eventually if Mac Jones keeps producing.
Yeah, and who was even third on that list? Najee, right? He didn't do anything yesterday. And, we've talked about that before. Running back, especially wide receiver, you're not going to always be able to depend on how many times you're going to get the ball. But that quarterback, you always have the ball in your hands.
Since that week 6 loss for the Patriots, they are the number one team in the NFL in EPA per play. Like, that's just how efficient that they've been as far as moving the ball and stuff on offense, which is crazy. Again, it's not a high flying offense; it's just a super efficient offense.
Here's their 6-game winning streak combined score: 211-63. 211-63. Their 8 wins, though, have come against the Jets, Texans, Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, and a Titans team without their 3 best offensive players. So there is that. That's why the Patriots-Bills Monday night game a week from today is really the who's for real game. Because whoever loses that game, I don't want to hear about them ever again. Seriously. You've beaten nobody. You've done nothing. Stop it. That should be fun a week from today. Coming back, our preview. Oh, same game parlay. And yes, no, playoffs. That's next.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on primetime action, Gil, Matt, and Kelly. Nothing to see here. Boys and girls, nothing to see here at all.
Nice. Are you kidding me? I wish I actually had a camera on me that time.
Nice catch. That was like, so here's what happens behind the scenes. Matt, without announcing anything, will throw an empty plastic bottle over. He will attempt to throw it over the glass to Kelly.
Well, and sometimes you go around it.
Yeah.
It depends on what
you just.
Because like, I'm trying to like, it got so easy for me to just, I'm trying to do different things.
So easy.
Yeah.
Except Kelly, this requires movement out of me now. So I'm trying to put in a bet.
Right.
I had to do a quick slide 5 yards to the left. And then one-handed it with the left hand, Gil. Come on.
We got to have a camera pointing that way.
It was incredible.
Amazing catch. Well done. All right. Will they make the playoffs? Yes or no? Let's start in the NFC. Now, remember, this list we're going to put up here is effectively for two spots. So two of these teams we're about to show, beyond the five that we've talked about that seem to have a spot secure barring a seismic shift, Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Arizona, and the Rams, two more spots for this group of teams. Niners, leader in the clubhouse for those last two spots. They're the sixth seed right now at 6-5. They're -250, yes, 2-1, no. And then three teams at 5-6, Vikings, Falcons, Saints, associated odds, yes, no, next to those, Saints off the board. Couple 5-7s, Washington can get to 5-6 tonight, and then you have the bottom with the Giants, the Bears, and the Seahawks. What do you like best there?
Just a quick note here on tonight's game. I don't know why, but so it has now moved to 2.5 at
yes.
Three different books.
Seattle taking money.
At rest of country. So if you were... One, if you were waiting to get in on Seattle, you might want to go ahead and do that because it looks like the number is getting worse on you.
Right.
And if you like Washington, this is the best number we've seen, actually.
Yeah, join us on the teasers, right? Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get a chance at that earlier today.
I mean, it opened at 2. We thought it was wrong team favored, and then it flipped. And then now it has gone all the way back to 2.5 at three different books now, rest of country. So, I mean, just look around if you are... if you're looking to play Washington, because that's, again, like I said, that's the best number we've seen so far.
In the words of Stewie, why?
I mean, nothing on the injury report changed any way that you would think about this game, right? Like, I mean, everyone that was expected to be active is active. Everyone that was expected to be not active is not active. I don't know.
I would assume it's just the overall popularity of the Seattle Seahawks franchise and Russell Wilson probably in particular.
Hold on. Russell Wilson is a very small favorite against the Washington football team. I'm backing Russell Wilson.
Yeah, where people can probably name three players on the whole Washington football team. So
disrespectful is what it is.
It is. No. But I'm happy. I mean, hopefully I'm happy. But I'm happy right now that it moved back into teaser range.
Yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting. Anyway, so will they make the playoffs? I think what we saw from it would have been. We will see what the news comes tomorrow. It would be like, oh yeah, definitely love the 49ers, and then of course we can't have nice things, and then Deebo Samuel hurts himself yesterday. He was getting an MRI at some point today. I assume they'll get the results back on that tomorrow.
He looked like he was in good spirits,
but
out 1 to 2 weeks, according to Schefter, according to Isaiah Wrinkle downstairs.
Yeah, problem is it's growing, and those are just.
Here's the thing we were talking about.
Ungood.
I was talking about this a little with somebody yesterday. If you were voting on guys who absolutely can never win MVP but are actually literal MVPs of their team, like Cordarrelle Patterson,
you're dead on with that.
And Deebo Samuel.
Oh yeah.
You take those guys off those teams. What do they do?
Cordarrelle Patterson, especially yeah. Him, for how bad that team is, and the team is not great. It will be one of the most confusing things to me all season of how Arthur Smith and the Falcons made Cordarrelle Patterson at the age of 30 whatever look better than he has in his entire career.
Even
30 even? Okay.
Yes, 30 even.
Wow, I would have guessed older than that.
Yeah. Well, he feels like he's been in the league forever. The thing, both those guys are setting all these records, like doing the same thing, right? So it's like, so no Falcon has ever had 400 plus rushing plus 400 plus receiving plus 4 plus touchdowns rushing and
right,
receiving.
And it's like, no,
and
duh.
He's done it. Yeah. And then like Debo's like, no 49er has ever had 1,000 receiving to go along with 300, whatever. So yeah, they're doing all these crazy, crazy deals there. But like you said, though, I mean, Debo's, look, they're 6-5. It's not like they have a ton of room here. And if he's going to miss 2 weeks,
yeah,
that's a thing, right? So I think it makes it hard, I think, at this juncture to bet the 49ers. At minus 250, I think it makes it pretty hard.
Because, yeah, it's too high.
Like you mentioned, yeah. it's that guy is the guy on that team, right? Like, he's the do-it-all. And he, since they started mixing it up with him doing all this stuff out of the backfield and catching these, you know, doing all these end around, all this stuff like that, like, it's been a different offense. And so, yeah, I'd be hesitant at that number until I got some definitive stuff on what's up with him.
And I think that's, I mean, I think that's the big difference, too, between if you wanted to say, you know, compare Deebo Samuel to Dalvin Cook, is that Deebo does way more things for that offense in general. As good of a running back that Dalvin Cook is, even if he misses extended time here, I'm attracted by that number. I mean, I missed that 3-1 I was talking about a month ago. You know, I was going to bet the Vikings, but I still think betting the Vikings, if it's minus 110 or something like that around there, I just don't see how this team doesn't get in there. I know there's, you know, a couple of these teams that I
Vikings are like, watch this.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, hold up here. Yeah.
Well, the difference is there's not a plug and play for a Deebo Samuel.
Right. Yeah.
Where there is a plug and play
for sure
with Alexander Mattison for the Vikings, right? Like that's just a, again, as good of a backup situation outside of the Pollard Zeke thing. I mean, like, listen, Tony Pollard is so good, and of course, we're the president. We are all co-presidents of the Tony Pollard fan club around here.
Whatever.
Like, to where they're like, yeah, we're just going to sit Zeke for a few weeks because, like, they're not worried about it. Like, they're not worried about it at all. They're like, oh, no, Pollard's as good or better, probably better. So we're just going to sit Zeke, you know?
For this market, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week of teams that, okay, like, I thought the 49ers, I think it was 49ers, Eagles, and Vikings that I kind of like to make pushes, you know, pushes towards making the playoffs. But, well, after what you saw out of the Eagles yesterday, I mean, that was a head-scratcher. I'm not going to completely rule them out, but obviously not feeling nearly as comfortable about them today as I was last week. So, I don't know, kind of all those things, I think it makes even more sense that the Vikings will punch their ticket into there.
We got the answer yesterday minimally. I mean, it wasn't like they were down a ton or anything like that. But again, like, we got the answer yesterday to what do the Eagles look like if they have to play from behind.
Yep.
We didn't get it from the 49ers, though, right? Like, the 49ers, we still hadn't seen that yet. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan's kind of tipping his hand what it is, because he's – and look, I'm going to give him credit where credit's due for being Charlie. He's hidden Jimmy Garoppolo over the last several weeks, but – that has equaled wins. Like, that has equaled not only wins, but, like, pretty dominant wins by this team, you know, with the run game and stuff. And so if they get behind two touchdowns, what are the 49ers going to look like? I think that's a pretty big question. And we got an answer at least yesterday minimally. I mean, they weren't down big, but they were still down, the Eagles. And then they at least had to try and score through the air at the end of the game and weren't unable to do so as well there. So that's just – it's pretty tough, I think, to buy in a team like that. The Panthers, that team's garbage.
I'm going to tell you, the best bet on that board to me is Washington 5-1, yes. It could be over tonight. But if Washington wins tonight, they're the number 7 seed, and then they would be the number 7 seed immediately, and they control their own destiny. They have 2 games against Philly, 1 against the Giants, 1 against the Raiders, and 2 against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, they could play their way into the division.
They could.
Yeah, if you feel confident about them tonight, then I think you take a piece of this number and probably even a small piece of the division.
And listen, they're burgundy on burgundy tonight, so I just want to tell you the uniforms.
Watch out.
Uniforms look good. Just want to point that out.
I do love me some Taylor Heineke.
I don't know if you know or not, but on a 2-game win streak when playing on Monday night, when Taylor Heineke has completed over 75% of his passes to Washington when wearing burgundy on burgundy.
Yeah. Sadly, everyone knows that's not true, because Washington has not won a Monday night game since, like, the Eisenhower administration.
I was going to give an ATS thing with all that.
Oh, okay. Want to look at the AFC real quick, or should we save the AFC?
Let's save it.
We'll save it.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save the AFC.
By the way, don't bet the Bears.
Don't
bet the Giants.
No.
Don't bet the Panthers.
No.
They're all dead.
Don't
bet the Saints. They're dead.
Falcons.
We don't even have a number on the Saints. And yeah, don't bet them. Off the board, don't bet them.
Yeah, because they're like, who's playing quarterback for that team? Like, who's?
By the way, how in the world are the Falcons 5-6? That's incredible.
I don't know. I mean, I said when they were 4-4, the worst 4-4 team I'd ever seen in history. 5-6, they might be the worst 5-6 team in the history of the NFL.
5-6. Same record as the Vikings, who, again, have lost all 6. Vikings have 2 things. Lost all six games by a combined 26 points. And remember, eight of those 26 were yesterday, so that was a lot. And they're the only team in the NFL that has led every game by seven or more points at some point. So you have that, and you only end up 5-6. That should tell you everything about that team. And Kirk Cousins lined up behind the guard. That, too. How about, by the way, that was the quintessential Kirk Cousins game yesterday that's not captured in a box score. The inaccuracy on those passes to Justin Jefferson, so frustrating. We'll come back. We'll do the AFC and all of the bets we have tonight. Monday Night Football next. VSiN's Primetime Action.